on verse number 3, Division 1, Chapter 3, Bhava Bhakti, Chapter 3, verse, actually 4 and 5. Avarbhuyo, avarbhuyo mano brito, vrajanti tat sarupatam, swayam prakasharupapi, basamana prakashyavat, vastuta swayamaswara, sarupaiva ratistaso, krishnadi karmak, karmakaswara, hetu tvam pratipadyate. Translation. Appearing in the mental functions, bhava becomes the mental state itself. Though bhava is self-revealing, it appears to become manifest by the mind. Though in its essential nature, bhava is taste itself. So bhava is actually, we say bhava is an experience, it's a sentiment, it's a feeling of love, it's a sensation, it's a taste, a ruchi, a taste of love. But at the same time, it actually, this taste or this sentiment or this feeling of intense love, bhava for Krishna, it actually affects the mind, it takes over the mind, it conquers the mind and becomes the very mind. It's kind of a dual functions. Though in its essential nature, bhava is taste itself, it also acts as a cause of tasting the pastimes of Krishna, his associates and his pastimes. So of course, Jiva Goswami explains that this shows the inconceivable and extraordinary power of bhava. And Prabhupada, he writes, after the outward manifestation of ecstatic symptoms, because bhava, when one experiences in relationship with Krishna, when bhava arises in the heart, intense feelings and sentiments, pure spiritual feelings, shuddha sattva vishesh atma, and then these sattvic bhavas come, tears, standing of hair on the body, trembling. So Prabhupada says, after the outward manifestation of ecstatic symptoms of bhava, like tears, the ecstasy remains in the mind, and the ecstasies continue there. So it's kind of like your body feels something, your heart is stimulated, and then that stimulation and that wave of intense love and stimulation spreads throughout your body. It spreads throughout your body from your heart. And then as it spreads, that wave of stimulation, as that wave of sentiment and love spreads throughout the body, then it affects the body and the bodily parts. There's crying, which you perceive as crying, your eyes are, and these are cool tears. These are not the hot tears of anger. Tears of anger are hot. And tears of love and bhava are cool. So you feel cool tears falling out of your eyes. So your eyes feel very soft. Your eyes feel very soft and very refreshed, and very cool. And that, you know, if your eyes, we have this expression, my eyes are burning because of intense glare or intense heat or due to disease or fever. Then we feel, oh, my eyes are red, they're burning. And we feel some pain in our eyes. So when one is in the mood of anger or hatred, then he cries hot tears and his eyes are sore and his eyes are paining, his anger burns. Anger burns the mind, anger burns the heart, and anger burns the eyes. But the gopis were a devotee at the level of bhava, bhava bhakta. He's left calm and crowed low long ago. So he's not being oppressed by anger. He's being impressed by love. Not oppressed by anger and hot tears, but he's being impressed by love. And when he's crying, those tears are very refreshing and cooling. It's almost like someone puts some very nice quality herbal eye drops in their eyes with camphor or rose water base, and their eyes feel very cool. Or you take, in the summertime, they take a cucumber, you know, Kira, and you peel it, then you cut it in a piece. And then you lie down, you put it on over your eye, and you leave it there. It's very, very cooling, and soothing to the eye in the hot summer. So these tears, so first this wave of love and this vibration of love, it expands from the heart and moves throughout the body, and it's so powerful and so astonishing that the body doesn't really know how to contain it. The body doesn't know how to contain it, or you can say deal with this intense vibration of ecstatic rapture and love of God, this exhilaration, this thrill. And then when that bhava, when that feeling contacts the air element of the body, the bhava mixes with the air element and distorts the function of the air element. So then the hair stands on end. And when that bhava, that intense ecstasy, contacts the water element of the body, it transforms the water and moves the water element in such a way that cool, refreshing, soothing tears start to pour from the eyes. When the bhava contacts the air element, then there's trembling. This is described. So now that may recede, that initial explosion, like almost like volcanic explosion of bhava and feelings. It spreads throughout the body. Then you stop crying, or you stop trembling, or your hair comes back. It's like sometimes in the material world, someone can feel their hair standing on end. I think everyone's had the experience. You've been frightened. At some time or another, you've been frightened either by the imaginary boogeyman. You know the boogeyman? Haubalau. The Haubalau. You know, you feel, oh, mommy, there's someone standing behind my curtain in my room. And you run into your mother's room. Mommy, mommy, there's someone in my room. And it moves the curtain. There's no one there. But your hair, your scalp gets tight. The skin on your head, your scalp gets tight. And your hair actually stands up. It's not like some Afro hairdo or something. Boing! It's not like you put your finger and get electrocuted. You know, lady's beanie goes like this, you know, like... No, it's not like that. But the hair on your arm stands up because the contraction... When you're fearful, you become contracted. The muscles around the hair follicle has a muscle, and it contracts out of fear. When it contracts, it makes the hair stand upright. So this happens. So when that recedes, when the bhava, when that initial stimulation of love recedes, then these symptoms disappear. Now the body, the physical body, is not expressing that intense ecstasy of bhava in relation to Krishna, the Prem Vishay, object of love. Now the bhava settles up in the mind. So there's no crying, there's no trembling, no choking of the voice, hair standing on. But now the bhava settles in the mind, and you relish like the reverberation in the mind. Like earth tremors. Like some volcano erupts and all this lava comes out. But then after it erupts, maybe the earth is going like that. Trembling, tremors. So now you feel in the mind. That's what he's explaining here. This is Prabhupada's quotation from Nectar Devotion. After the outward manifestations of ecstasy or bhava, tears, etc., after they subside, then the ecstasy or the bhava remains within the mind and the ecstasies continue there. So initially your body is feeling this great thrust of intense loving love sentiments. And then the body relaxes and the mind is feeling such thrill and excitement within the mind. And that's why people take drugs. They take ecstasy and LSD and all. They want to feel some thrill in the mind. And sometimes it affects the bodily functions also. Gives special strength or special powers of perception. I would rather say special powers of deception. Because with your organs of perception, which means your eyes and nose, you see the reality, but it becomes an illusion. It's called hallucination, you must have heard, when you take LSD or some mind-altering drugs. So it doesn't increase your powers of perception, it increases your powers of deception, because you become deceived by your environment. Because of your altered senses and mind, inability to actually suss out or to understand what's happening around you. So you you see things that aren't there and imagine things that don't exist. That's called deception. It's faulty perception. And it's Igor. So this is Bhava's extraordinary. He's defined it. He explains some symptoms and he explains sattvic bhavas. This is being explained here in Jiva Goswami's commentary. And this verse 4 and 5, they describe more detail about bhav, which appears in Krishna's dear devotees in this world. Shuddha Sattva Vishesh has pleasure as its essence. Because literally the meaning of rati, because bhava is sometimes called rati, the meaning of rati is pleasure. Though this rati is self-revealing, which means it doesn't depend on anything else, since it reveals Krishna and everything else, it is, by its own mercy, manifests within the functions of the mind of the Lord's dear devotees in this world. And then it becomes one with their minds. It becomes their minds and emotions. Tat sarupatam virjanti. Bhava appears in the mind as if by the actions of the mind, though it is self-revealing and independent. So what this is saying here is that bhava enters the mind and one feels this intense exhilaration and loving feelings towards Krishna. And he may feel that this has been produced or aroused from the content of the mind itself, that the mind has produced this joy. But the mind is just a field for bhav to sit and express itself. His mind is actually the container for the ecstasies of bhav. So the bhav, we're feeling the bhav and perceiving the bhav, but somehow we think it's the mind. But the mind is passive, it's just the walls of the room. The walls of the room are very passive, but the people in the middle are having a party and exchanging. So the bhav just settles up over there in the mind and becomes the mind. There's no more any mind. It's only bhav. So it's very difficult because for us, these are words, these are descriptions. We have no framework. We have no material experience to compare and contrast it with. This is alaukik. This is Vishuddha Sattva. It's transcendental goodness. All we know is freedom. We get freedom from ignorance and we think we're happy when we touch passion. And we get freedom from passion and we think we're happy when we touch goodness. That's about the extent of our experience in this tabernacle called the body. By its own arrangement, bhav acts as previous and later states as both cause and effect. Factually, bhav is taste and delight itself. In other words, bhav is the cause and the effect. We experience the ecstasies of bhav because of bhav. Bhav is a level of attachment and loving sentiments and feelings for the Lord. Bhav becomes, in addition to this, bhav becomes a portion of it, becomes a cause for tasting Krishna's forms and activities. And this is all done by the samvit aspect of bhakti. That's technical, but it's wonderful also. So generally the cause is Krishna and his associates' pastimes, form and qualities. So that's discussed in the next verse, which we can read. This is verse 6. Sarana abhi niveshena Krishna tad bhaktiyostata prasadenati danyanam bhavo dvaida bijayate adyastu prayikastatra dvitiyo viralo daya. These are the causes of bhav. Okay, we described something about the phenomenal, the definition of bhav, and the experience of bhav, the sattvic vikars, the changes of the body, and when we come to the level of bhava, sometimes we may cry or have these experiences that just, we become taken over by the feelings. And it's not like the seasonal changes, it doesn't come and go. When one rises to the state of bhav, he stays there. It's not like, I was in bhav in 1997. But not now. Now I'm in bhav. Vav means material existence, B-H-A-V, short A, and Bhav. Bhavasagar means the ocean of material existence. There's Bhav, Bhavasindhu. Bhavasindhu means the ocean of love. Bhavasindhu. Went from the Bhavasindhu to the Bhavasindhu. Bhavasindhu Re, right? There's a bhajan. How's it go? Bhajahure mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare Durlabha Manava Janama Satsanga. I've attained this very rare form of human life, Durlabha Manava Janama Satsanga. And somehow I have this association with good souls. Bad people, whatever, it ends up stuck in the material existence. I forget the translation. Bhava Sindhuri. So this verse is talking about the causes of bhava. How do you get there? How do you experience all this? Bhava appears in a very fortunate person in two ways: by absorption in sadhana, or by the mercy of Krishna and his devotee. The appearance of bhava by sadhana is normal, and its appearance by mercy is rare. So these are the causes of bhav. There's two words here. It says prayakas and virala. So they describe the sadhana as that which is possible in many instances. And virala means that possible rare instance only. Prabhupada mentions, he translates this, that one can attain bhava by practicing intense sadhana, either Vaidhi bhakti or Raghunuga bhakti. He can attain bhava. In this verse, the causes of bhava arising in the devotees of this world are discussed. Persons become very fortunate by prior association with great devotees. That's a fact. Vishnu's commentary about what are the causes of bhav? How does one come to the level of bhav? By sadhana and by mercy. The usual way is by sadhana. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti brings one to the level of bhava, and that bhava condenses into Vaikuntha prema. Raghunuga sadhana is based on following the residents of Vrindavan, Subal Sridham, Raktak Patrak, Yashoda, Nanda, Alita, Vishaka. And that type of sadhana, Raghunuga sadhana, will lead to bhav, and that bhava will condense to become Braj Bhakti. Vishnu says in this verse, Rupa Goswami is describing two ways by which bhav may appear, two causes of bhav. By sadhana and by the mercy of Krishna. He uses the word sadhana abhinivesha. Sadhana abhinivesha. We say griha pravesh. You've heard this term? Enter the griha, mandir pravesh. So sadhana abhinivesha means, this word abhinivesha means absorption. In other words, pravesh means you go inside. So deeply absorbed in sadhana. Not just a little chanting, a little reading. I read a little bit every day. I mean, absorbed. By absorption in sadhana means by bhakti at the stage of nishtha. So he's saying that this word in the verse, in 1:3:6, sadhana abhinivesena krishna tatan bhakti yastata. That this word, sadhana abhinivesena, abhinivesena means absorption. This is synonymous with the level of, with nishtha. After anartha nivritti comes nishtha. So when we say absorption, there's no question of being absorbed in sadhana bhakti at the level of anartha nivritti, because there's too many obstacles and too many anarthas and impurities and contaminations of the mind and heart and physical body being completely overwhelmed by intense ignorance and passion, which prevent us from getting in gear, preventing us from getting motivated. We may make a passionate attempt for a while, then fall back into ignorance and sleep off for a few months. Here we go. I'm getting up every day at 2 o'clock. Then a month later, I go, you blow a balloon up, and you let go. So the balloon, you'll blow up the balloon. It goes like that. And then you let it go. Boy, he's making a big show. Just a piece of rubber lying on the floor. So this is the riddle of life. Life is like this. We're pushing this ball up, and then samsara dava nalalita. Samsara chakra. We get to the top. Oh, I'm on the top. Here I go, back to the bottom. So sadhana avinivesana, this is actually nishta. And when one practices nishita bhakti, all the time, steady, and that comes gradually. The kid stands and falls, and finally he stands. And falls occasionally. So an artha nivritti is the process of standing and falling. I keep getting up. When nishtha, then nishtha, it's like self-generating then. Because ruchi comes then. Ruchi starts to percolate. Some little misty rain of ruchi starts to fall on the scorched plains of your heart. Some misty rains of ruchi start to fall on the scorched plains. Plains means the earth, the dry earth of the heart. Because nanartha nivritti is fiery time. And all the fire dries out the earth. So the soft earth has become extremely hard and cracked due to the fires of thousands of lifetimes of lust and greed and anger and envy. So that's why the symptom of bhava is chitta samsrina, softening of the heart, masrina, chitta masrina. The heart becomes soft because the rains of ruchi. When it rains, the earth becomes very hard, sun-baked, it cracks, and the earth is crying in the summer season in Vrindavan. If you're from Bihar or North India, the summer is so, the earth is so dry, it seems like the earth is crying. I never could understand this living in America. When I lived in Vrindavan, I walk to Vrindavan Prikama in the summertime. The earth is so dry and everything's so dry. The trees, there's no movement, there's no wind. It's only heat, heat, and more heat. 40 degrees, 45, 46, 47. No, nothing is moving. The good thing about the summer season, there's no mosquitoes. They're burned up or they're sleeping or went on vacation somewhere. Down to Bombay, come back later. Anyway, you know, they're taking a holiday. So the earth seems to be crying, so our hearts are like that dry, sun-baked earth. And then we finally somehow we struggle to come to the platform of nishtha. Then as we inch along in the path of nishtita bhakti, then some misty rain of ruchi comes, some taste for the holy name, and sadhu sangha and Vaishnav seva and shastra pardana, studying Bhagavatam, starts to come. A misty rain starts to fall on our dry, sun-baked hearts. And they start, that's the preliminary softening process. Sometimes there's a little misty rain and a little bit of the earth gets soft, but you can get some mud and make tilak. But if you go down, if you try to go more than that quarter of an inch, it's hard rock. But then when monsoons come, then you're up to your knees in mud. So this is when the later part of ruchi, then you're up to your knees in mud, your heart becomes getting very soft. A gradual process. So this sadhana abhinivesh means intense attention to one's spiritual practices. Steady sadhana with earnest longing for attaining bhav. This is a very interesting aspect that operates at all levels of devotional life, is the longing. Longing means yearning, intense longing, yearning, desiring, wanting. It's called utkanta, utkantita. I really want Krishna's love. I really want Radha's love. This want, this craving, it's a craving. But that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Have we ever really longed to attain craved and longing and yearning to Krishna. I have to have this. I have to have your love. I have to have your bhav. Have you ever really longed for it? Steady sadhana with earnest longing for attaining bhav. This is what sadhana bhakti means. He says, okay, Hare Krishna, 16 rounds, read the Bhagavatam, I do my puja, I offer my food. Hare, what more? I give a donation every guru, Vyasa puja, I give my donation, and I do my seva, and that's it. Hare Bhava Nitaigur. No, there's an inner, that's the external expression of your duty, of your attachment and your gratitude towards guru. What's the mindset? The mindset, and what's the mentality? The abhiman. What's the mentality backing? What is the driving force? The driving force is our mentality. The mind is the driver. The senses are the engine and body. So that driving force which drives the devotee on is, come on, let's get with it. Have we attained love of God? Have we attained bhav? No, no. We attain bhog. I'm getting there. So we should feel like, what's with me? The boat is passing by. I'm not on the boat. I missed the boat. What do they say? I missed the boat. Krishna prema pradayate. Namo mahavanyaya Krishna prema pradayate. Krishna Krishna nana krishna. Everybody says the prayer to Lord Chaitanya. Krishna prema pradayate. Pradai, Bhakti Padam, Bhakti Pradam, he's giving prema. Did we get it? Have you gotten it? No, gee, no. Have you ever thought about wanting it? No. I'm happy. Everything's fine. No, that means everything's bad. Everything's unfine. Everything's precarious. So this is a very interesting qualifying adjective that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying. Rupa Goswami is particular. He's giving Sanskrit verses. He's explaining that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a Sanskrit textbook. You have to study Sanskrit for 12 years to understand the Vyakaran, and then how to use it, then you have to understand Naya and Sahitya, literature, and Kavi, poetry, and many aspects of literature, and then putting all that together and studying all those things, then you can somehow decipher Sanskrit and understand Shastras. Itihas, Sahitya, Naya, Vyakaran, then studying the Siddharshans, Siddharpan. And then, this is a very deep and profound book. And these are all Sanskrit. Sadhana, why didn't you just say Sadhana Krishna Bhakti? He says Sadhana Abhiniveshena Krishna Tad Bhakti Yastato Prasadenati Danyanam Bhavo Dwaid. He says Dwaid Abhijayate. This happens by two ways, by Prasad Danya, by the donation or the gift of mercy from the Lord or His devotees, or by Sadhana Abhiniveshena. Sadhana Abhinivesena, this is the main way. For us, we can say it's the only way. Intense earnestness, intense yearning. So this is a good word for us to think about. How much yearning we have for bhav and how much craving we have for bhav. And this is the internal man. They say a person is only as great as his ideals. The higher the ideal, the greater the man. So we should always cherish our ideal. Our ideal should be cherished repeatedly, and we should remind ourselves of our ideal. The sadhya, why have I come? Why have I left my normal way of life and taken up this spiritual way of life? If not to attain something glorious and grand. The grandest wonder of most. I simply want to attain what everybody in the world is looking for. But I already looked in the world and I couldn't find it. Everyone in the world is looking for feeling, sentiment, love, bhav, fulfillment, satisfaction. I tried it, I did it. In 10,000 lifetimes. And I'm fed up, I don't want to look in this world anymore. So I just said, and someone said, hey, oh, listen. You know, there's another world. Acha prast prastu prastad bhavanyo. So there's another world. Acha natad basayato sriyo nashanka bhavakaha. There's another world. Acha, yeah. There's a spiritual world. Huh? Yeah. Acha. And there's love. It's a world of love. Love divine. And you can live there. You can be there. Well, that's very interesting. Tell me more. Or read this book and find out more. Then you decide, oh, okay, I'm going to search that world. I couldn't find love in this world. Let me search that world for love. And they say, how do you find this world of love? Are, you know, you don't have to look far. The world of love is in your heart. Acha? Yeah. Oh, I was searching in this external material world looking for love. Like, love this person, love that person, love this concept, love that concept, love this idea, love that idea. Give myself to some concept, give myself to some cause. Welfare, altruism, etc. Family, this, that. All koi, nay, empty. Empty shell. Dissatisfaction. But, my friend, you look within yourself, you'll find the world of God in your heart, and you'll find, and then that world within will take you to the world above. God's world is way beyond this world, and it's in your heart also. Search your heart, and the heart will take you to that world when you surrender to Krishna. So this is a nice proposal, and we took it up.